the next. I'm the number to kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. No, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. But you're the next one, then I'm about to kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. No, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking, I'm a minute inside you. Stop making the more behind you. I'm breaking, I'm a minute.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your gracious, humble, and beautiful host, Daniel Hummer. I am here with our a bunch of good friends. The whole main group is here today. We got Clintus.
How you doing?
Pretty good. We got Always a Pleasure, Stevie.
Yeah, how's it going?
Pretty good. We got Eric.
What's up?
We got a really good show today, guys, and we got a lot to get into. Oh, my brother Doug's here, too.
You know what? I am here almost every week. Clintus hasn't been on the show in 2 months, and you introduced him first.
Yeah. He's a big fan.
Of the football.
I'm a draw, okay? You know what? I'm a big draw anywhere I go. Let's put it that way.
This is a bigger draw than you.
Yeah, I was just going to say the numbers are probably going to get up to, what, 7,500 now that he's back?
Yeah. All right, everybody, we got a lot to get into. Survivor Series 2001. This is a big show. Before we do all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/DirtSheetDudes. We're on 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. That is for the wrestling show, and then Saturday nights around 9:30 p.m. Eastern time is the Hollywood Hangout, which is the movie show. So make sure you catch that, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. Make sure you catch us 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Yes, we're a little early tonight, but some of us have plans. But usually 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Friday nights for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next week, we are going to be talking, because it'll be the 30th anniversary of that show, we're going to be talking this Tuesday in Texas.
Hey.
Even though we're going to be doing it on a Friday. But, you know, in the spirit of Texas, we're all going to be wearing cowboy hats and chaps.
I'll do the cowboy hats. No.
I'll only do the chaps if they're
asked. No. And last time I checked, I enjoyed my day. No cowboy
way to be team players, guys. I'm just kidding. I don't even have a pair. Well, I don't even think I'd be able
and
to do a
pair. Didn't they just think up it up yesterday? They just took it up yesterday anyway. That's why I enjoyed my Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So.
All right, boys. More?
Okay. Also, Unscripted Unlimited, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, join Eric, Daniel, my buddy Rick, and I. We're going to be counting down. We're each going to have a list of our top 10 favorite cartoons of all time, so make sure you're listening to that, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Daniel and Mindy with the Scaredy Cats. Any idea what we're...
Top 10 minds in the horror genre.
Oh, boy. That ought to be fun. Countdowns are a big hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. And then next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, Eric, Clintus, and Stevie with NFL Hard Hits, usually around 6, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Any idea what day you guys are going to do that next week?
Let's put it this way. I was thinking, I'm not sure if you guys were, if you guys want to do it on a special, like, the Thursday night before the kickoff of Thursday.
I could do that.
That works
for me.
Works for me, too.
All right. Breaking news here on the podcast. Thursday before kickoff for Thursday night football.
Between New Orleans and Dallas,
Between New Orleans and Dallas, and then of course, catch our buddy Sean on YouTube.com, the Elite Diplodoc, and then on Twitch with Sneaky Freddy, And then, of course, Stevie's got a podcast coming up beginning in January, the Wrestling Fan Club podcast. And what's the first episode going to be, Stevie?
The top 10 worst wrestling gimmicks in professional wrestling history.
Ooh.
All right. Very good. We got that. And that, don't you have a NFL or not NHL podcast too?
Yeah, that starts January 3rd.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking what's going on around the league. So should be fun.
Beautiful. All right. Daniel, why don't you go ahead and get us started, please?
Okay. All right, guys. Survivor Series 2001. We're in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Coliseum Complex. Our attendance is 10,142 people. We got a buy rate of 450,000. Winner take all. This is a big one. This is everything they built to the year prior. And this is the whole invasion angle. ECW and WCW, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on that. I still think the match itself stood up to it, was a proper payoff, but this is obviously headlined by the Alliance versus Team WWF in a big five-man winner-take-all elimination match. But there was a lot of content on this card. Let's get into the first match. Christian representing the Alliance going against Al Snow. What'd you think, Doug?
I thought it was a decent opener. I thought it was a decent opener. I mean, this man, it was made on heat. So, like, it really wasn't, like, there wasn't a lot of buildup, but it was basically just a way to get Christian on the show to defend the title so he would have reason to, you know, obviously, you know, stay claim to, hey, I'm one of the, you know, members of the Alliance that, you know, survived. But I thought it was a decent Al Snow is a really good worker. He may have been past his prime at this point, but I thought it was a good opener. I'm going to give you a kiss.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match. I thought Al Snow was a pro around this time.
Yeah,
he was really good in between the ropes, and he was already the head trainer on Tough Enough. So Al Snow was doing a lot of stuff around this time, and Christian was a budding star. But I think the two of them put on a little bit of a performance for a six-minute match. Stevie, what were your thoughts on this bout?
It was good enough personally, though I would have thrown Christian in with someone else. Other than that, it was okay.
Absolutely. Clintus, what were your thoughts?
I mean, it was a good match. Good match, you know. I will say it was a good match, let's put it that way. I'm not going to go too far. Christian, yes. European championship that wound up being like a toss-out title at the end.
Absolutely. Eric?
It was a decent opener. There was no story to it, but it was for what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree. Now, if we all had to rate this match, what would we give it out of 10?
I'd give it a
5.
Yeah, I would say 5.
I'll go 5, too.
I'll go 5.
I'll give it a 5.
We're all agreed, a pretty mediocre opener, but not a bad start. Now we're coming in hot with Tori Wilson. Tajiri, accompanied by Tori Wilson and William Regal, representing the Alliance. We have a little bit of a story here because Tajiri kind of worked under William Regal. Get into it, Dutchie.
Okay, so back, I think it was after Judgment Day. I think Tajiri kind of started being Regal's, you know, assistant. And the interactions between the two of them were kind of funny because, you know, Tajiri couldn't speak English. And Regal, you know, thought Tajiri was an idiot. But, like, you know, they worked well together. They were a very good, you know, comedy duo. And then, of course, Regal turned heel, became the Alliance commissioner, and like it really wasn't funny anymore. And this, and it really wasn't funny anymore. But this was kind of like, so this was kind of, it was almost like a 6 month build. Like you knew it was going to happen. Like they were not necessarily the best of friends, but Regal took Tajiri under his wing.
Yeah.
And you know, this is what we got. And it was only 3 minutes, but it was really Regal showcasing what he could do.
Yeah, there was an action-packed 3 minutes. I think Tajiri was a good babyface that you could root for in the underdog role. But this was kind of a domination on Regal's part. And I thought it was a good showcase.
Yeah. Yeah, and Regal, of course, you know, getting kicked in the honker.
Yeah, and he had the bloody nose. And then he fucked up Tori after, too.
Yeah.
So he came across as a proper scumbag. Even though 24 hours, he'd be kissing some tush.
Yeah. And, you know, he made sure he put on the proper amount of chapstick.
What did you think about this one, C-Money?
I mean, I like the story background of it, of Regal turning heel and then attacking Tori Wilson. Yeah, but I wasn't a big fan of it. I think, to me, I would have put this more of it if I put on Heat. It's Heat.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Stevie, what was your input?
The match was barely given any time. Like, Regal and Tajiri are good at short matches. Maybe if given more time, this could have been a real gem.
That's a great antidote. Eric, what would you think?
I thought these two always had good chemistry. For a jobber match or slash squash match, it was okay. It showcased how much of a douche Regal was.
Absolutely. So if we're going to give ratings to this, what would you rate it, Doug?
I'd rate it a 3.
Curtis?
I want to give it a 1.
I give it a 2.
Eric?
4.5.
Yeah, I'd actually go. I'd go 4.5 myself, actually. I'd actually up it to a 5. Because I thought, even though it wasn't very long, I thought it was pretty action-packed, and I paid attention the whole time. So, stayed
exciting. Especially afterwards.
Yeah.
That's why I give it 4.5, because there's more to it than the match.
Now, next up, we have a title unification match. The U.S. champion for Edge, WCW, even though he's representing WWE, and Test with the Intercontinental Championship, even though he's representing the Alliance. Even though this isn't what most people would want with these two titles, because they're two legendary titles, and you got two guys that never worked in WCW or ECW, but for the match itself, I think it stands out as a barn burner on the card. What do you think, Doug?
I really enjoyed the match. I mean, again, when you think of, like, okay, WCW versus WWF, obviously these two guys don't really come into mind because neither one of them worked for WCW. So, like, they could have gone so many different ways with the storyline.
Yeah.
But they didn't, you know, this is what they got. And the reason why they didn't, it had more to do with the guys that didn't want to come over.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted to take the buyout, because in WCW, they were all getting lazy towards the end.
True.
So you had to do this storyline where guys were jumping ship. And, but this match, I thought it was really good. I thought these two guys had awesome chemistry. I mean, they're both from Toronto. They're both Canadian.
Yeah.
So, like, they kind of had that, like, Canadian connection. They were friends. I thought it was the best match of the night so far.
Yeah. What'd you think, Clinton?
Oh, man. I'm going to say, yes, I did enjoy the match. With it being first unification match, I think the build-up of it was even better. Because if you look at it as, Trent was the one that actually won the Intercontinental title from Edge. It was more like an Edge, almost like a backdoor way into the pay-per-view itself. Let's put it that way, by winning the U.S. title from Kurt Angle. Mick Foley comes out saying it's going to be a unification match between the U.S. champion and the Continental champion. And here we go.
I'd agree with that. Stevie, what do you think?
It was nothing great, but solid enough to be watchable during the time. Wasn't Test getting a push around this time?
Yeah, pretty much. This show seemed to be a little bit about him, so.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I thought it was the best match on the card, so, as Doug said so far. I liked it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I thought those two guys really worked their asses off in this one. So I'd have to go ahead and give it 8 stars because I think for what it was, it was one of the best wrestling matches on the card. You know, it's hard to live up to the 5-on-5 that happens later, but this was a really good match.
It was hard for them to live up to it, but they tried. So I would agree. Well, actually, no, I give it 8.5.
Okay. Clint, what would you give it?
I want to give it a 7.5.
Stevie?
I'd probably give it a 6.5.
Easy money?
I'll give it a 7.
All right. Now let's move on to a steel cage unification match for the WCW Tag Team Championships and the WWF Tag Team Championship. Representing the Alliance, we have the Dudley Boys with the ever-beautiful Stacy Keibler going against the Hardy Boys with the equally as beautiful Lita in their corner.
She didn't come out the ring with them.
She's aligned with them.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, the match as a whole, what'd you think, Doug?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a pretty good match. Both teams obviously have chemistry with each other. And it was a really good cage match. And then they did the spot at the end where Jeff wanted to take the chance and it blew up in his face.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, I mean, it was one of those standard matches where, like, because usually in most cage matches, you don't have to tag.
Yeah.
But, like, here, like, you know, they were actually doing the tagging for a while. It was stupid, but it was also kind of cool at the same time. And then, you know, Stacy Keibler flirting with Nick Patrick, which that didn't happen a lot, even though Nick Patrick is equally as gorgeous as Stacy Keibler.
She shook her butt.
Yeah. Which I had no problem with. You know, and then, like, introducing the table into the ring and, you know, Jeff doing what he did. But, yeah, no, I thought it was a really good cage match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought they made Jeff look a little stupid at the end. But besides that, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, because they were in the process of turning Matt heel.
Yeah. Did it ever really happen?
No, because then they realized it was a bad idea because they didn't – because they were going to split them up and Jeff was – you know, they were going to start, you know, really pushing Jeff as a, you know, single baby face and Matt as a single heel. But they also realized that neither one of them were ready.
Yeah. What did you think, Clint?
Well, I'm going to say this. I mean, besides, it started out as a a normal tag team inside doing a tagging back and forth. No, I wasn't a big fan in the beginning. It's a tag team match. Both teams shouldn't have to go. Should be more like a tornado style. Let's put it that way. That's the only downfall of the match. Part of the match that I did not like because of tagging back and forth of the beginning. No need for it whatsoever. But the two teams are out of a hole, Hardy's, Dudley's, great chemistry whatsoever. The ending, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Jeff Hardy wanting to take a wanting to go for a swanton on D-Von to a table with Matt, knowing that his partner is already outside of the cage. What was the point? But then again, also, wouldn't this corner away, because then this also lead to Matt and Jeff having a singles match at the next pay-per-view or so?
Yeah.
With Lita as the referee?
Yeah, it actually did.
Yeah. I don't understand why they lost the match, because of that only was a good reason why. But I'm going to say, overall, I enjoyed the match. The ending, iffy, but I'm going to give it, I did enjoy it. And I do agree with the Dudley's winning the match overall.
What did you think, Stevie?
It was a great match between two of the greatest tag teams, so to put it in a steel cage was definitely entertaining. So even though I liked it.
Eric?
I enjoyed the match. These two teams always had good chemistry. I think Jeff Hardy and Matt always had maybe better chemistry with Dudley than Edge and Christian. So I always liked the matches between these two teams. Not the best one, but it was decent for what it was.
Absolutely. Give it a rating.
I give it a 7.5.
Quetta?
I'll give it a 9.
Stevie?
I give it a 7.5.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
I give it a 9.
Doubtfire.
I would give it an 8 myself. I'd agree. I thought it was a really good tag team match. Next up, we have the Immunity Battle Royal. Got a lot of good guys in here.
Fantastic.
Fighting for their right to be immune for the year. It comes down to the one Billy
Gunn. Did you just say and test?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, this was kind of test shining moment here, Doug. This show was kind of circled around him a little bit. That was one of the side stories. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't like the guy. But, like, I guess the thing is that, you know, he was considered, like, a main star, and I don't know why. So he was considered a main star, and, you know, he loses his job, or not loses his job, but he, you know, could possibly lose his job because he lost his title. So, you know, he needed to kind of worm his way into the Battle Royal, which is what he did. And I'm not a big fan of Test, and I'm not going to go into the stuff I've said about him over the years. I mean, yeah, you could say that the show was kind of centered around him, but it's also just him protecting his ass. I mean, like, what they technically could have done is, you know, he took Scotty Tuhati out of the Battle Royal. You know, somebody could have come out and said, all right, get out of here, you big idiot. Let's go. You're not – or, like, Vince could have come out the next night on Raw and said, yeah, you won the Battle Royal, but guess what? You're still fucking fired because you weren't supposed to be in it.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
They didn't do that, though.
Yeah, they should have. They should have fired him the day they hired him.
But he has immunity.
Yeah. Yeah, that immunity ran out. Actually, you know, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
That's fucked up. Stevie, what'd you think of the Battle Royal as a whole?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Battle Royals. But I don't understand the concept of if you winning, you keep your job. I just, what do you think about that?
I want to piggyback with that. I think with it being that everybody not knowing if what side was going to win, so you're going to need a match that's going to allow someone, allow you guys to fight for a right to say, hey, whatever, whatever side wins, whoever wins this one match, if they're going to be able to say, I have a job no matter what. I can do whatever I want. That's why. That's why I agree with it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Eric, what'd you think?
I thought it was okay for a battle royal. It was obvious who was going to win when after Testa knocked out Scotty.
All right, what would you rate this match, Doug?
A 5. I mean, because it was a good battle royal. It was a bad winner.
It was a filler battle royal. I give it a 6. Quinnith?
A 7.
Eric?
A 5.
Stevie?
I give it a 5.
All right. Now we got the 6-pack challenge with the women. By the way, let's note to this point that the backstage interviews have been pretty good so far. The Alliance has talked up their team. Tess has tried to fuck Stacy Keibler. There's been a lot of stuff going on backstage.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole night was surrounded on can the Alliance trust Stone Cold Steve Austin. Heading in, Vince McMahon had said Austin is turning his back on the Alliance. He's going to rejoin the WWF.
Yeah, and he was smart when Stone Cold gave him a stunner, and then he smiled after, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And the commentary of JR and Paul Heyman was fucking hilarious the whole night.
Yeah, because, like, they
yeah,
were,
what?
You can almost, like, it almost makes you think that the two of them really did not like each other.
Yeah, and it says to the genius of Paul Heyman how arrogant and how dickhead-ish he was the whole night, and then the pie-on-the-face moment at the end. And even more so, was it the next night when King came back?
Yeah.
And then he gets ripped off and thrown away, and King comes back.
Yeah.
There's just certain stuff about it that really works, and you can tell how ahead of his time and smart Paul Heyman was. But this match, absolutely. This match saw Trish Stratus going against Ivory, going against a newly introduced Jazz, going against Jacqueline, Lita, and Mighty Molly, who was doing a superhero gimmick at the time. Do you think the superhero gimmick fit in well with the Alliance, Doug, or her and Hurricane?
No, because I think they were better off as baby faces.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do a superhero gimmick, like it should be, you know, babyface-like. I mean, they would become baby faces, but here it just wasn't working.
And what do we think about the match, Kenneth?
Oh, man, I wasn't a big fan of the match, put it that way. At the time, I'm not a big fan of it. I think, and especially with the if you're going to add in, and I wanted to add in something about the whole superhero gimmick, that. As a heel, wasn't going to work out. I think it was a way of slapping the face because didn't she break up with what? She was going out with what? One of the Dudley Boys? Spike?
She was going out with Spike, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't going to work out. I didn't think it was a slap in the face for Spike Dudley either way. Of her turn on Spike to join the Alliance.
What did you think, Stevie?
Well, plenty of botches to see in a women's match, but with so many women in there, they made it work. So I thought it was okay.
Eric?
Of a match.
Eric?
He'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was cool because it was really the rise of Trish Stratus. And I thought, she obviously wasn't quite polished yet, but it was nice to see her get a title victory here.
Yeah, I mean, she, like you said, she wasn't really polished, but you could tell that she wanted to put the work in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was just known as, like, kind of like this sex symbol. And don't get me wrong, like, she is. She was the most gorgeous woman in the company at the time. And, or at least, I thought she was. And then it became head-to-head her and Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
But she showed that she's not just a pretty face. And, you know, it was almost like she was going to be the modern version of Sable. Or, like, you know, the new version of Sable, I mean.
Yeah.
But Sable really didn't want to put the work in because Sable was afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah.
Trish didn't care.
Yeah, she just wanted to get in there.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this match, Eric? And give it a rating.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. All six women were okay with it.
All right, Clintus, what would you rate this?
I will rate a 4.
All right, Stevie?
I'll give it a 4.
All right, Bastion Booger?
I would give it a 5.
I give it a 5 as well. Now, the main attraction here, folks, what we all came to see, Vince has talked up his crew. We're ready to get at it here. Heyman's talked enough shit. We have the Alliance, Stone Cold Steve Austin as the captain, Kurt Angle, RVD, Booker T, and old Shane O'Mac against a Team WWF captained by The Rock, also with Chris Jericho, Undertaker, Kane, and Big Show. To me, this is my favorite Survivor Series match of all time, so I'm a little biased, but how epic is this match, Doug? Even though it's not, doesn't live up totally to the dreams of what WCW fans.
Well, it doesn't, but guess what? They told a great story in the match, and they gave the match 40-something minutes, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. Obviously, they were putting a lot in here. Yes, the storyline didn't, you know, wasn't necessarily great and all that. But again, it's not necessarily Vince's fault. It's the lazy bastards that didn't want to come over. You know, from WCW.
Yeah.
Okay. But at that time, all they wanted was money because that's all they were about in WCW. They weren't about making the product better. They were about taking their money and running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, because to be honest with you, and don't get me wrong, like, I still am a fan of many of them. But a lot of those fuckers were selfish. They were selfish fucking pricks who didn't care if the company succeeded or failed.
Well, couldn't you tell that by the way it was going downhill from the beginning?
Well, yeah. You could tell in late 99, early 2000, and then all the way through to the end of the company that they just did not give a fuck. Because of how bad the product had gotten.
Yeah.
And so, like, obviously, if they didn't care about the company going under, they weren't going to come over and defend WCW.
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that? Like, Nash didn't give a fuck. Goldberg didn't give a fuck. Hogan didn't give three fucks.
Yeah.
All right? The only one you could say actually cared would be Sting, but, you know, he didn't come over.
But you got to give credit to Booker T and DDP.
You got to give tremendous credit to them. But unfortunately, they didn't see anything in DDP, because if they did, he would have been in this.
He would have been in the match.
Yeah.
Right?
He should have been in this match.
They gave him the stalker gimmick instead.
Yeah. So, like, this match, and I'm not going to discredit anybody that was in this match, okay? Because I do think they all did a really good job, because they all played a part.
Yeah.
And, but the match should have been different, but what we got I did like. And, like, Shane McMahon doing the part of interrupting every pinfall. Even, like, probably could have been was, like, you know, Undertaker taking down Kurt Angle with a snapmare. I don't think that happened, but he could have just snapmare Kurt, covered him, and Shane still would have come in there. And JR was getting pissed. He's like, well, somebody just fucking just knock him the fuck out.
And then they did.
Yeah. But, like, the first 15 minutes, yeah, it was 15 minutes of Shane just coming in and just interrupting pinfalls.
But it worked.
Yeah. He called Shane a boil on the back, on the butt of life, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And his father's a hemorrhoid. But, like... But it was such a, they told such a good story. And then you didn't know if Austin was going to be trustworthy. You didn't know if Jericho and Rock were going to get along. And, like, you know, everything kind of came about at the end. And then Kurt Angle coming out at the end and being the one to screw up. Because he had just joined the damn Alliance.
Yeah.
And
Steph felt safe with Kurt, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it was a really good story that was told. And you have to tell a good story with the objects that you were given.
And all 10 guys, including Shane McMahon and Big Show, could go.
Yeah.
And that's what really helped. All guys could go, and all guys could go for long periods of time. I mean, Big Show only lasted like 13 minutes, but he still had a little bit of a showing before they all came together to take him out. It was the psychology that really made this match good, and all 10 guys had it.
Right. But the only thing I really didn't like, though, was the fact that JR, again, JR is supposed to talk up, you know, his guys, right? The guys on the WWF team. He, a couple of times, he made sure to call the Big Show lazy.
I feel like they were always doing that to Big Show around this time, though. It felt like jabs.
Yeah, because he still wasn't ready to put the work in.
Yeah. But it's like, if you're going to utilize him as a big star, don't shit on him while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. I look at this with the 10 guys here. I don't think Shane McMahon should not have been in this match. I'm sorry.
He should have been DDP.
Owner. I don't care. You can put Raven in, all I care. You need a wrestler. You don't need the owner. If you're going to have the owner out in this match, make sure both owners were going to be in the match. If Vince was going to be in the match, Shane don't need to be in the match. That's the only downfall I have when it came to this match.
I think he was pretty athletic, though, and did his job, which was breaking up all the pins and then getting his ass kicked. Because you got to admit, it was very satisfying seeing everyone put their finishing move on Shane at the end and then finally take him out. It's like, all right, this annoying bastard's gone. So I think that part of it worked. But I do agree with, on paper, he really didn't need to be there.
Yeah, well, you're building it up as WWE versus the Alliance. Okay. Owner of, Shane is the owner of the company, and more like, Shane is a wrestler / owner, which really did annoy me at times, especially when it comes to big match fields. That it's like, oh, I don't have anybody. Hey, This is bring Shane. Shane's a slash wrestler. Shane can fill in what we're missing. Shane doesn't need to be in. Give someone else a star role.
Yeah. I mean, because if we're getting into the nitty-gritty, RVD and Booker T are the only ones that really belong in this match. I know Stone Cold did that stint in ECW, but it wasn't very long. And, like, those are the two. If you're going to think of an alliance of WCW and ECW guys, those two are the only ones that really make sense on the team. Kurt
yeah.
Angle makes no fucking sense.
Right. It should have
Kurt
been.
Angle was
go ahead, Clint.
No, I mean, well, Kurt Angle was more like, as you could say, was the Joker. Let's put it that way. Kurt Angle was the Joker. Kurt Angle was there to be
the Joker. He was on the alliance. Especially because he was the hero for the WWE.
The
they finally got him over as a babyface against Austin, and then they undid all that.
Yeah.
To have him here just to screw him over anyway.
Right. And that was the thing, again. Like, if you're going to say, okay, if it's going to be alliance versus WWF, your WWF guy should have been Rock, Austin, Undertaker, Kane, and Jericho. You know, no disrespect to Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And then your alliance guy should have been, obviously, RVD. You could throw Booker in there. Rhino, but Rhino may have been hurt at the time.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you could have put him in there. You could have put, DDP in there. And actually, you know what? Take Jericho off the WWF team because Jericho spent time in both WCW and ECW.
Yeah.
Have him be the turncoat.
Yeah.
Because he did spend time there. He won titles in both places. So you put Jericho on the Alliance team and you put Kurt Angle on the WWF team.
Well, realistically, I think people's dream match for this was Hogan, Hall, Nash, Sting, and maybe DDP or a Flair. Or
Goldberg, maybe.
Goldberg, even. Against Rock, Austin, Triple H, Undertaker, and then maybe like a Kane or an Ankle. Or
yeah. Well, I mean, Triple H wasn't able to do it because he had the injury at the time.
Yeah.
So that's when you put like Angle and Undertaker and Kane and Rock and Austin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the dream match. But unfortunately, we couldn't get that again because of the selfishness.
Yeah. Well, and not even selfishness. Yes, it is selfishness.
Do you really call it selfishness? Knowing, but then you got like, what?
That's what I'm
2 years,
saying.
A year later, you're going to bring in the NWO? I mean, come on.
And think about, like, I get love of the business, and I get, but you're a businessman. We all go to work. We all go to work to make money. Now, if you have the option to sit at home, contractually, not welfare or any of that shit, but contractually, in your contract, you're allowed to stay at home and collect this amount of money and not do anything, as opposed to take a pay cut and be on the road every day of the year and away from your family. Which one are you going to take? I mean, come on. Well, you got to think of it as a businessman, too. That was in Disco Inferno's contract. If they're going to be stupid enough to do that for everybody, fucking take it. I don't blame anybody for sitting at home. I would, too. I get that they owed the fans or whatever, the fans think that, but you got to think as a businessman, too. You're getting paid to sit at home.
I mean, that is definitely a fair point. Again, I'm just speaking as a fan. I mean, as a businessman, I would probably do the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, I wish that we actually had that, you know, option, you know, at our jobs. Eric's been at the same place almost 20 fucking years. I'm pretty sure, especially on Black Friday, I'm sure he wished he had that opportunity.
Oh, come on. Target finally gave you guys off. They finally chipped in. So, you know what? We're probably going to shut up and just take off, give everybody off on Black Friday, on Thanksgiving.
Well, Black Friday is not the same anymore, so it's not even a big deal anymore.
Stevie, I haven't really gotten your opinion yet. Well, what did you think of this 5-on-5 match?
Overall, I thought it was great, but the only issue I had with it is I felt both companies, ECW and WCW, weren't represented. That's the only issue I had with it.
Well, you know what? And I agree with that, too. And you can actually tell that towards the end of this whole fire match, they broke up like half of the WWF to make it seem like turncoats because they didn't have enough WCW, ECW people to cover the one that joined the, in this fight.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we all knew what this was going to be, WWE versus WWE. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's WWE versus WWE. You got guys that spent time in each company, but that's what this was going to be. And but for that, if you take all that out of it and then maybe take up the hype of we all know who's going to win, because that's a, another con you can say about it is we know WWF's going to win.
Yeah.
There's no shot they're losing. But if you take that stuff out of it and look at it as a match and you watch the match, it's a phenomenal match. The everything, the commentators, the atmosphere, the crowd, the guys in there, it's just a great match. So all the stuff around it, I agree that there's a lot of critiques to point out about the all the other stuff. But for the match itself, I thought it told a great story in 45 minutes.
No, I agree.
Definitely.
I mean, it tells a great story, and not a lot of the Survivor Series matches tell great stories.
Yeah, well, it's hard to.
And, but, like, there have been some over the years that have actually told great story, and I think the first one that comes to my mind is the tag team match where it was the five tag teams versus five tag teams from 88, because you had that swerve at the end where the two captain teams switched roles.
Yeah.
You know, Powers of Pain became babyface or became heel. Demolition became babyface, and you know, that was kind of cool, but that was a great story. It was a really good match. They had a lot of action and all that. And then, you know, there are other matches that, you know, told great story. Piper's team versus Flair's team in 91. That was a good story. You can even go
That was your favorite Survivor Series, right?
What, 91?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually... I was actually thinking of doing that one because the 30th anniversary is tomorrow. But...
The 30th... The 20th for this one was last week.
Right. Yeah. But again, like, if you can somehow find a way to tell a great story, like in 2005, when they did Raw versus SmackDown, they gave that match the same amount of time that they gave this match.
Yeah.
Okay? And that was a great story. I mean, they switched stories at the end because, like, the big story was, you know, Batista versus Undertaker versus Kane and Big Show, and Kane and Batista got eliminated early, so they kind of had to switch gears. But yes, it's hard to tell a story in these types of matches, but every once in a while you can get it done.
Yeah,
and here they did.
They did get it done. Now, what would everybody rate it? Let's start with Stevie.
For this match, I'll have to give it an 8.
Eric?
I'll give it a 9.
Quinnis?
I'll give it a 9, too.
Gene Snitsky?
Why did have all my gimmicks failed? I'm giving it a 10.
I'm going to give it a 10, too. To me, this is a perfect match. Now, let's give our final thoughts about the pay-per-view and a rating overall. We'll start with you, Eric.
I enjoyed the pay-per-view from top to bottom. It was a good card. I enjoyed each match. There was no horrible match on the card. That's from ratings I gave. So I enjoyed the card. I give the pay-per-view a 9.5 out of 10. Not exactly perfect, but good. Very good.
Quillis?
Yeah, I'll give it a 9.
Okay. You got any final thoughts on it or just a 9?
Oh, you want me a final thought? I'm going to say, you're asking my rating for it. But final thoughts, I'll ask for overall as it being that this build up as a final pay-per-view, the final Raw, who's going to win, what company is going to be the dominant company. We all know the U.S. was going to win. That's my as much as Paul Heyman tried to put everybody over and made people give him a small chance, we all know Paul, no. Not going to happen. No WCW, you got none of your key ECW, none of your key WCW guys were there to make this rivalry what it will.
All right, Stevie, final thoughts on the rating.
Overall, great pay-per-view. I'm going to give it a 9.
Absolutely. I would say this is top to bottom a really solid card. It's obviously carried by the main event, but the ride there is a fun time as well. I'm giving it a 9.5. And we're going to end with you, Beaver Cleavage.
Ah. The respect. So it was a really, it was a decent pay-per-view that was carried by the one match, but the other matches still deliver.
Yeah.
Okay. And because of that, you know, the storyline may have sucked, but guess what? I still think the payoff was pretty good. So overall, I would give it a 9.5.
Absolutely. And with all that being said, this is a great time, everybody. We'll see everybody next week, and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Yep.
You too.
Bye, guys.
Later, guys.
Bye. Later.
I'm